I was only a pledge for a few months. They had an initiation for two or three members, and I had enough dollars out of my $500 to join. So I was a Sigma Chi by the time I came home at the end of the year. And I've never been unhappy. It was a good choice. It was a good fraternity there, and I was happy when I came to Whitman. They were kind of at the bottom over here at Whitman, but eventually we did pull them back up.
What sort of hazing did you avoid?
Well, I didn't avoid it all. I can recall an awful lot of things that they did, getting us down at midnight, and we'd go out and raid the neighborhood to get food and one thing or another. Some of them very illegal and some things I'm not very happy about, but I did manage to provide them the evening dinner, and they had lots of games where you ended up getting beat on that I participated in. But I did get out of the work of cleaning the house for that year. I had a very limited amount of it, and I probably didn't do a very good job on what I had. I was excused because I had also had a lead in a college play, and was playing turning out for football at the time, for spring football. So they, I really had a pretty easy time.
As a freshman, then you were had a lead in a college play. Was that fairly remarkable?
I don't think freshmen, and as far as the drama up there was concerned, they didn't differentiate at all. You were on even standing with everybody else. Mm-hmm. An interesting thing that is that the play is at the drama club there is the same one that Chuck Connors, who played All on You Know Which One, came out of, so just a few years later. So.
Hmm. What was your living situation when you first got to college?
I went right into a dormitory, and I stayed in the dormitory through my, I guess through all the first year. And it was a nice place to live. It was close to everything, and I enjoyed it. The second year, when I went back, I started in the dormitory, but it soon became apparent I was going to run out of money, so I only stayed there, and I didn't have to stay in the dormitory. I didn't as a freshman, I think. So I found inquired around, and I got a very unusual living arrangement that I spent the rest of the time at the university where I was living there. A family, a very peculiar situation. This lady had married an older man, and she had eventually divorced him and married a younger man, but the older man had become bedfast, and through some way or other, through if she was going to get his money or whatever, she had to take care of him. She needed to take care of him. So she was taking care of her first husband. Her second husband was a night watchman at a Catholic church and a series of buildings they had, school, part of a school. And he wasn't there, but she lived there with her husband part of the time. Nobody was with the old man. And my job was to stay there and provide if something would happen to him at night, that I would be there. It was a very easy job. I got my room out of it. And I lived in this kind of arrangement until the last quarter, or for almost a year, a little over a year. It was an unusual arrangement, and not one that I'd really encourage anybody else to go into, but it did provide me a very inexpensive housing, a few meals, and without doing a great deal of work. I think the last quarter, I think Mr. Edwards died, and I probably spent the last year or half year paying a little bit of room for my apartment. But the family was outgoing, they were not demanding, and outside of occasional Saturday night drunk, the conditions weren't that bad.
Did you have a roommate the first year?
Yes, I did. And that's an interesting story. I started with a his name is right on the tip of my tongue, but I forget right now. He was from St. Regis, and his folks ran a hotel there. Pat Maloney was his name. He was not as Irish as he sounded, but and I stayed with, he was my roommate for a while. And then we got into this hassle about the corner room, and as part of my payoff, they not only blackmailed me at Fidel, they also thought they'd really stick me. They gave me a, Jews were not all that popular, and there weren't that many of them at the university. They gave me a young Jew man. Well, he was a little older than I was, and he had a job and working, but he lived in the dormitory. He was a junior, I think. He had not pledged, no fraternity would have him. And they thought they were going to pay me back with him, but I didn't have any prejudice, and we got along fine, so there wasn't any problem. Those were the only two roommates that I had in school. I had a good friendship with Pat, stopped off to see him, but we drifted apart, and I think he was killed in the war or something, not too many years afterwards.
What did you do for food then? They had a cafeteria?
They had a dormitory, or they had a cafeteria, and we ate there good food, never any problems. Just in my junior year, when I was turning out for football, we ate with a training table and a special place for the teams to eat.
How did the classes and the professors impress you?
Freshman class, the kind of courses that I took were large. The dean of Dean Miller, the dean of men, taught one of the classes. I think there were 150 in it. And he'd teach us 3 days a week. Then we had 2 days that we had study, not study period, but test periods. And you went, you sat through this lecture, supposed to take notes. And then they'd go in the next day and they'd quiz you, and you would get whatever one-to-one kind of teaching you had from student teachers. I didn't know who they were at that time, but that's what they were. They were student teachers. I early decided that was kind of dull, because his lectures came right out of a book that I don't know whether he'd written or somebody else. So all I had to do really was read the lecture and read the book, and I could avoid going to those dull lecture sessions. This is one of the courses I did manage to get, a straight A in, but they almost flunked me out of school because my attendance record was so poor. I didn't attend the other classes. Finally, we got that straightened around. The only course I really looked forward to attending was a course in bonehead English, because I didn't pass the English required exam, written exam. And I had a very good teacher who encouraged me and did an awful lot of work with me. I think improved my English, written English, quite a little bit. And that was the only course. I took eventually graduated with a degree in economics. The statistics course I took was horrible, and it was taught by a German who spoke brokenly, a brilliant man. But he expected us to learn pages and pages of things, word for word. Mm-hmm. And my memory is not that good. I didn't have enough time to really do it. And I eventually transferred out of that course to something else. First year courses, I was not really impressed with.
I remember freshman year being pretty shocked by the whole experience. Did it seem like a big change to you?
I adjusted rapidly. I had such a small amount of spare time. I guess I really never had a chance to worry about it. If they told me to do something, I did it. And as a result of that, I adjusted fairly rapidly to the routine of it. And overall, was a pretty good student.
What plays did you have the lead role in as a freshman?
I think the name of the play in the freshman year was The Tavern. And I played, I guess you wouldn't say I was probably the leading feature. I played Zach, the tavern keeper's son, as I recall, which, and he was a semi-idiot. But he was in most of the scenes, and I had good reviews on it, very excellent. I don't know whether he played the part of an idiot to perfection, but it was exactly what you say was... and I did enjoy it very much. The best part I had, I think, came the next year when I was in Ibsen's The Wild Duck. I played the part of Hjalmar Ekdal, which is the lead part. And in a five-act play, memory, just a tremendous amount of memory work. I had a hard time, eventually I got into the, I tried to do it without really understanding what was motivated Hjalmar, and eventually once I just found that out, I could fit right in. The teacher was, the instructor was a little unhappy. I looked the part, he liked that, I was fit fine for it, but I had an athletic walk, and they spent a lot of time developing so I would not roll as I walked across the stage. They said that's become, and so I had to concentrate on that. The instructor, and I'll think of his name, I can't remember right now, you did a play, he never interrupted while you went through your scene or whatever you were supposed to do, but he'd write notes, and at the end of it, well, you'd get his notes as to why you did it, and then you'd go back over and over again, and he was a perfectionist, and I have a lot of training. I think this is an area that I would really enjoy.
Did you? I was in some plays, and we spent a lot of time discussing motivations and so on. Was that true for your experience?
I don't think that I think if there was a criticism, I'd have him. We should have gone over the play in a little more depth to get the feelings of the people at the start of it. And I think if that had happened, I would have had a clear idea of what we were trying to do. The theater there was in a World War I barrack, and it was not very big. The student body themselves could fill it for four nights if all of them came, and there weren't all that many things to do in those days, so it was pretty well filled. I think, in one of these, and I can't remember which one, I think maybe the Wild Duck, we performed it four times on the campus, and they had three times downtown, gave us, at the end of a week, you really began to get into the feel of it, and I think the performance was pretty good by that time.
What do you think it was that made you attracted to doing theater work?
Well, if I had been in a large high school, I probably never would have been. But in a small high school, any time there's a student activity comes up, you turn out to try to do it. Well, I turned out for the glee club. It was quickly apparent that I was not going to be a great singer. And that activity was not one that I prevailed in. But in the plays, I enjoyed it, and they needed me, and I just kept at it. Then when I got into the university setting, I thought, oh shucks, well, they were going to have tryouts. I tried out. I had no idea I could make it. It was a big upset when I got the lead. I was not a member of the Maskers or any of those things. And they thought the director flipped, but I did stay with it. I guess I had the lead in at least three plays up there.
How did you do in football as a freshman?
Very well. I was a walk-on. In other words, they had not come and told me, give me a scholarship or anything. In those days, there were not many scholarships. There were quite a few walk-ons. But I turned out. I weighed about 205, 210 pounds. I was fairly fast. I was determined, and coachable. They saw that, when I went up there, though, I decided I didn't want to play in the line. I'd been a lineman in high school, and I decided I was going to turn out as quarterback. So I told them I was far away from home. I thought I could get away from it. I said I was a quarterback. Well, I'm sure they knew the first time I tried to handle a ball that I wasn't a quarterback. I could get by. I was a fairly good passer with my left hand, and I was an excellent kicker. So they thought maybe I'd had a little backfield experience. But I think maybe they called somebody down here and discovered that I was a lineman. And so I was quickly moved to tackle. And I played tackle for the Frosch team there. Started in all the games and was picked as one of the five freshmen that had the best opportunity that would make the varsity the next year.
Sophomore year, what did you do academically?
Came back. This was the year I came back. I was still recovering from the operation. Mm-hmm. I neglected to tell you that I had a girlfriend in my freshman year, Marie Christian, who I had a tremendous crush on, and she was a girl from Butte. Eventually ended up marrying one of my friends, Bob Nelson, who went on to become Chief Justice of the Montana Supreme Court, which is an interesting side play. She was a very pretty girl. Her father was a lawyer, and I really thought I had it. But during the summer, when we separated, and I'd had this operation, when I went back, it never seemed to heat up again. And she had been going, whenever it was going around with some of my friends, Nelson included by this time, and so we kind of broke up. And it hurt me a little bit, but I was, there was plenty of other things to do. I think I did fairly well in my sophomore year. The classes were more interesting. I was taking a pre-law course. I was taking Spanish, reading Spanish, and I had to study pretty hard to get good grades in the courses I was taking. I think I carried around 20 hours. I took one course I remembered as Introduction to Religion, which was a little bit new for me. I was never afraid to branch out and try something a little extra. But it was not a bad year.
How about athletically? What did you do as a sophomore?
Well, I played them. By the time the doctors would have released me to play, it was almost basketball time, and I played a lot of them. Intramural basketball. I spent a lot of time in all of my college career on the basketball floor or any place there was anybody else was playing games, and that's probably a weakness of mine in enjoying it. I imagine if there was a game going on out there now, I might leave you to go out there and play in it, but because I did enjoy it at whatever level. I was not a good basketball player. I hadn't played until I was a junior in high school, and I just didn't have the advantages that they have nowadays, but I was still improving, I guess, but I did have an awful lot of fun playing in the gym. So in the spring, they did not have a baseball team, and I played town team baseball in Missoula, as well as playing intramural baseball. So I was playing quite a little bit of baseball. In those days, the teams, after you had it, it was mixed up. 3-2 beer was back, and Montana had some great beer partners. So any time that you played baseball, and you either celebrated the victory or drowned out the defeat. But in 3-2 beer, you had to drink an awful lot of it to become very intoxicated. But you did attempt to.
And you were drinking age by this time?
Don't know whether I was drinking age, but the 3-2 beer, I guess I must have been. Nobody ever questioned me anyway.
And academically, were you still sticking with pre-law?
Yes. Yes, I stuck with P-Law as long as I was all through my sophomore year.
Any major plays?
No, well, I think this was the year we had the Hjalmar Ekdal and the Wild Duck that was the lead. And there was another play I had a lead in, but I don't even recall the name of it. It was nothing. The Wild Duck was their major performance for the year. And I had played in some shorter plays, some one-actors that were very interesting.
Do you think that any of the characters you played, have had any long-term influence on you?
Well, maybe Zach did, the idiot son. No, I think that probably if there was any of those, it would have been in a one-act play in high school. And I played a warden at a penitentiary, and I was not... even the lead in it, but the level of discussion that went on was very thought-producing, and I think maybe in that case it might have had some lasting repercussions.
Any part of that you recall now?
No, I can't. The conversation was between myself and a fellow on death row who had been sentenced, and as he talked about his life and the things, the way he'd gotten where he was and what had caused him to be there, it generally came out that the warden couldn't do much about it because the fellow was there largely because of circumstances that he couldn't do much about. And the warden at that period of time, couldn't do much about it. But hopefully people who were watching the play would say, well, we can do things about those things.
Then in your junior year is when you transferred to Whitman?
Yes. I had turned out, well, I forgot to tell you that I turned out also for Frosh. I could play football then. So we had long, lengthy spring practices, and then they were very demanding. And my operation in the long period of time that I'd been away from the field, I lost about a step of speed. I very definitely was not as good as I had been prior to that. I'd also lost a little bit of motivation. I'd started to smoke when I was when I was going with the girl. She smoked rather heavily, and I always provided her cigarettes, and I ended up with a package at home and ended up smoking them because I didn't want to waste them. And before I knew it, I was smoking, which is something that I would not recommend to anybody else. But between that, my endurance was not as good. I didn't have quite the desire I had had, and I lost the speed. So, but in spring practice, they did consider, I supposed I would have been about on their second team, would have had a lot of playing time. When fall practice came in my junior year, they brought in a bunch of junior college people from California, and they were big and tough. And with the lack of motivation or whatever, they were just physically better specimens than I was. And so I stayed on the team. I was on the team all through the all season. I didn't quit. But my role was strictly third team. I played in a few games, but didn't letter. And it appeared that I wasn't really going to... between the combination of those, that I just wasn't going to make it. At the same time, I'd had a starting year before, and I guess maybe in the back of my mind, I knew I was going to have to. I'd discovered that my dentist in Walla Walla had discovered that I had, and I don't know why I hadn't discovered it years before, but I had an overbite, and my teeth were wearing off behind. My upper teeth were wearing off behind, and it would appear that within just a few years, I would begin to lose my teeth and I'd have to go with false teeth. So it was decided that though I was a little bit old for it, probably I should have them straightened. And there was nobody that we felt confident about in Missoula. And so it ended up at that time you picked somebody and stayed with them. The fellow that I had was referred to in Walla Walla. I then said, well, he could do it, but I had to be to check in with him every week. And so that meant that I had to be someplace closer. So I did transfer to Whitman. I could see I wasn't going anyplace scholastic or in football-wise. I'd pretty well given up in that transfer, since Whitman didn't have a law school, meant that I was going to have to change my major. And so at that time, that was a major decision, and the transfer.
So you had to wear braces.
Yes, I still have a permanent brace, I decided to put it that way, because the teeth straightening was a failure. I was too far gone, and they eventually put a plate in that served the same purpose. And that was that wasn't made till, I guess I had braces all the way through Whitman, so.
You say you did?
Mm-hmm.
Was that annoying or embarrassing?
They were not very visible. Fortunately, most of them were behind my teeth. They were not in the front. And I was a little sensitive about it. I felt they could people see it, and I imagine my smile was not as broad as it had been, but no, I didn't bother me.
Did you have jobs then while you were going to Whitman?
I don't believe I worked while I was Whitman. I'd worked all the time I was at Montana in a variety of jobs, but coming into Whitman, I'd had a good summer of work, and I had quite a bit of money saved aside, so I didn't work. Living expenses were not that high. I lived at the Sigma Chi fraternity, and it was not that expensive to live, so I could survive.
The jobs that you had in Montana, were they hard to get being during the Depression?
Yes, the jobs were hard, and they worked you real hard at them. I worked for Jim's Cafe in Missoula. Jim's Cafe was a little restaurant. He cooked right behind the bar. There was a long bar, a couple of tables over on one side. The kitchen was in the back, or where you did the dishes, and where you prepared mashed potatoes and that type of thing were back there. But everything else was cooked on the bar up in front. It was ran by a Greek named Jim, who was quite a character in himself. My job was to come in about 11, do the dishes, the morning dishes, the breakfast dishes, and have them done by the time the noon rush came. Then I would stay and do the noon dishes, and I was get through it by 2. So I worked 3 hours, and I worked real hard. Now, I hadn't had breakfast when I got there, and generally the waitresses would bring me a little bit of something, but I ended up getting about one full meal out of this, and that lasted me all day. I take a little bit I occasionally came back for an evening meal, which was free too, but it did provide me enough food to sustain myself, but it was hard work. And after you've worked in a sweaty old kitchen doing dishes, you aren't in the very best shape. Maybe that's the reason the girls sat further away in the class when I got back to school. But it was quite away from the campus, and I had to catch a bus, go down there and catch a bus back, and occasionally if I missed the bus, I'd almost end up running back to class. It was not a happy situation, but I forgot to say I had to peel a half a sack of potatoes too.
Yeah.
It was a kind of burden. Jim was not very pleased with the way I peeled potatoes, and ended up getting me a potato peeler because he thought that with a paring knife that I took too much of the skin off, so he got me a peeler that wouldn't let me do that. I do remember one thing about that. He had a crock of pie cherries that were all ready to go into pies. Sat in the back there, and he made his own pies, and I had lots of breakfast. I had pie cherries for breakfast, along with the little pastry that the waitress would bring back to me.
You didn't have a car during college?
No. No, and this was not unusual. There were not very many students who had cars. It was the days of the Model A, and people who had them were very much in demand, and I didn't have one, or any of my friends, really.
You used the bus then, and
used the bus. They had a pretty good bus system then, and it would bring me within a block of where I had to work. But it didn't run exactly the very best schedule for me. And between where I was staying and the gyms, and then going back to that, it ended up that I couldn't use a bus all the way. And it was a little difficult to get to classes.
Did you use a bicycle at all?
Didn't use it then, although there were quite a few of them. And that probably would have been a better way for me to go, but I just was not accustomed to it.
Did you have a bicycle as a kid?
We lived in the country on gravel roads, and I had a bicycle. Learning to ride the bicycle was, I think I was about 8 or 9 years old. It was a traumatic experience for me. They got a second-hand one and gave it to me, and in learning to ride it, I almost decapitated myself on a barbed wire fence, and because I got up behind the barn and came down off the hill and ran into the barbed wire gate, fortunately it gave, but in doing this, my bicycle was all sprung out of shape, and so they had to work it back in. I never did get to learn to ride real well, and the gravel roads, even if you had a good bicycle, were very hard to ride on.
Mm. Were you injured when you hit the fence?
I've got a few scars to tell about it, but it was nothing, no broken bones.
Mm. And did you have to have stitches?
We did not, they were not stitched. Probably if you'd been closer to town, we probably would have.
Did you make the change from pre-law to economics then when you made the transfer to Whitman?
Yes, to get something I could enter Whitman, because that was where my dentist was, and that's where I could afford to go. The thought then was that I would get a degree in economics. I began to take more bookkeeping, became interested in, with the thought that perhaps I would be an accountant. And I took most of the courses that Whitman provided to prepare me for that, business machinery and that type of thing. Because the courses, the machinery and things were not very sophisticated. Whitman was very poor. They didn't even have the latest kind of equipment at that time that was available. But that was my intention.
How did the field of accounting look in view of this being the Depression?
I didn't really study it that deep. I had felt before that there was always going to be room for law, people that were trained in law. And I think that I felt that there'd also be a place for people who were trained in accounting, that there was jobs available. And that would be a good opportunity.
Senior year, were you involved in athletics?
Yes, I played football, but when I was not eligible the first year, I was eligible for intramural football. I was on the all-star team on that. I was on the all-star baseball team as the year I was ineligible, and I was manager of the winning basketball team. I was the sixth man on the Sigma Chi's basketball team. I was still not a great player, but we won the title that year, I remember, and games probably that were as good as the varsities, but it was an interesting year athletically for me. The next year, I went home. I felt I could make Whitman's team, and I could have. I had worked all summer hauling wheat sacks out of Pendleton, and I was in excellent shape, probably better shape than I'd ever been in my life, I thought. And I went, and I was muscle bound. I was just, it was kind of sad I couldn't do the things that I knew I was capable of doing. Nick Burleski started me on the first three games. And then he pulled back, and I never let her. I stayed on the squad all the rest of the year, but I ended up being on the meat grinder squad. We scrimmaged with them. I should have had my letter. I think I had enough quarters, but whether it was an oversight or not, I don't know. It didn't make that bit to me anyway. But I was just kind of a dud. So athletically, my college career was not a great one.
And then academically, when you switched to economics, how did you do?
I did very well. I liked the bookkeeping, and I have one big problem in bookkeeping. I'm not very neat, and I did a work, an exercise in bookkeeping. You do these big exercises, and my exercise was perfect. I got the right answers every place. I turned it in, and they gave me a B because it was not neat. One of my friends who copied mine and never did a bit of original work on the whole thing got an A, and so I was felt very sorry about that. He is now, incidentally, Bert Edwards is an accountant, Sherwood and Roberts is involved, and then still is, I think he's retired now, but no, I guess he still is president or vice president of the operation. So I always mention that to him when I see him. But
he must have managed to do some work on his own then if he...
he was a good sharp individual and didn't really need to have the exercise, but he didn't need the grade. That was what he needed.
Did you have special male friends in college?
Oh, yes. I had a number of people, generally connected with the football or the fraternity, that I occasionally see. Nobody that I have kept up real close relationships through all these years. Some of the boys came back down to Athena and stayed with me for a while when I was in Montana one summer, or two summers they came. Whitman, several of them stayed, because I could provide them jobs in the summer, and that's a very key thing when you're going to school in those kind of times. So, some of them stayed there. I do see more of my Whitman friends because they're in Walla Walla, and occasionally we go to a reunion. Mary Elizabeth, of course, had lots of friends there, and some of them that she's kept in touch with.
What did you do with your male friends for fun? What was your recreation?
Well, I regret to say that probably alcohol was connected with a good share of the fun, although I athletically...
We're back.
Okay, everything go all right?
Yes, went real well. Bob Winters, quite a host.
Oh, we used to, in basketball season, we'd go out and play town teams around over the area and had lots of fun doing that. There was quite a bit in the spring in Montana and Whitman both of the, I guess you call them keg parties now, where you get a barrel of beer or whatever and go out into the meadows and the mountains. And in Montana, you were very cautious because that's in the tick area up there. And the Rocky Mountain fever is something that you always talk about. And so if you got ticks on you, while you quit, you try to avoid that, of course. I had a few friends at Whitman that we did a little heavier drinking than beer. I was never a real problem. But in looking back, it was a wonder I didn't make a jail or two or someplace along the line. And there weren't all that many occasions, but there were a few of them.
Did you participate in any hijinks or the kind of thing that you do only in college?
I was in several organized affairs because of my role in drama. I put on the Sigma Chi's entry into the into a turned the contest for the best skits, you know, and we had lots of fun doing that. It was semi-organized, I guess. I think maybe that the idea we had was the best, even though it was the poorest performed. We had not put on anywhere near, we didn't have a singing and dancing operation like the Fight Elves and the Betas had then, but we had an original skit that probably got more applause from the audience. So I had a lot of fun doing that type of thing. I do enjoy very much the preparing some kind of a stage show or something. We even did that after I got out of college quite a bit.
What did you do with your friends that you could have been arrested for?
Well, I was looking back in Missoula when we were there. I guess it was the year I'd won my letter, so I had my letterman sweater. 3-2 beer was in, but you couldn't have booze, and there was a lot of bootleggers around. We got a half gallon of moonshine, as I recall, within a block of Main Street. I think I could still find the place. And we proceeded to try to drink it. I was not intoxicated, but I was on when the police stopped. One of the fellows was, and he was making a fool of himself. So the police stopped him, and at the same time, when the time he did, I was carrying the liquor inside under my letterman sweater, and it was cold as the journey is there, and so he didn't frisk us or anything. But if I'd have dropped that on the sidewalk or anything else, I would have certainly made it. The friend got he was picked up, and finally we got somebody who was sober to go get him out, but. No, I think that was one of the times. We eventually ended up at a dance out at the country club that evening and got into a fight that got one of the ace football players expelled from the university. Mm-hmm. And it's a funny thing, he went on to the University of Montana where he became All-American. So it was I was not involved in the fight, although I was on the periphery and it was our booze that probably got some of them in that shape. But that was, I think, the worst incident I was. At Whitman, where you have a campus, we lived on the campus and we were involved in it. I think most of the drinking took place on Saturday and Sunday when we didn't have too good a supervision. And if some of us were kind of captive there at times, hung it on a little heavy. Not malicious or anything, but if somebody just happened to be at the right time, probably would have got expelled.
What would the consequences have been if you were arrested in town for possessing moonshine?
I think at the university they would have expelled me. If I'd been caught with that, I would have. Of course, I had a good record, and maybe not. They might have given me one chance. If I'd had anything else against me, they would have probably just. So that's good enough. They didn't fool around too much.
How about the city law? Would you have been jailed?
Probably been jailed, depending on the incident. They were pretty lenient towards intoxicated college youngsters because they had quite a few of them to deal with. The possession of moonshine or breaking a bottle on the street would have been a little more serious offense.
How did you get it?
Very simple. I think it's just like kids get marijuana now. We knew that this place was supposed to be it was supposed to be available here, and as I recall, we made an inquiry and they said, "Well, come back at a certain time," and they'd hide us over, and nothing happened. So when we came back, we were able to get it. I was not the ringleader in purchasing it. But I was a damn fool who was willing to carry it. And another time that took place at the university was, as I got a little more sophisticated, when you go to a dance, and you always impress the girl you were with having a little bit of whiskey or liquor. So I had felt that I couldn't go weak unless you had two or three drinks, and sometimes just a few more. Nervous that you couldn't hardly function, but I went to one, and I had my, didn't have my, I had my liquor in my coat, my overcoat. And as we went to leave the dance, the bottle fell out of my pocket onto the floor, which in front of the, some of the chaperones. Well, nobody saw it because I dropped my coat on immediately, and I was able to brush it over to the side and pick it up fairly graciously. But that was a time that I was really worried. And my girl was worried, more worried. She was kind of camouflaging what I was doing. So.
Could you both have gotten in trouble?
She wouldn't have, but I would have. Mm-hmm.
Were you ever involved in any college pranks?
Not a great deal. I was so busy with the things I was and working that I didn't have a lot of time to plan that type of anything. And the University of Montana was fairly serious. There weren't those many things went on, although there were we lived right next to the SAEs, and so there were some mutual interchanges there that, but nothing that you'd call hijinks, I don't believe. When I got to Whitman, the Sigma Chi house there had been, had a dance, and there'd been a lot of drinking went on, and so they were campus in that they could not have social functions. And it was that way for over a year after I was there. So I didn't have an opportunity to do much there. I began to go with Mary Elizabeth not too long after that, and while she didn't object to a few drinks, a steady diet of alcohol was not all that in her plans.
Were you, would you say that college was a pretty happy time for you?
Oh yes, I think college, even though having to work, and it was a